grab a front row seat to the Untold Stories as we talk about how to live life on your terms. You're officially part of the inner circle. Welcome to Courtside with Courtney. And don't worry, I comped your ticket. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. Today, we have Eleanor on the podcast.
I am so excited.
I want you to give a little intro, a like Reader's Digest version of you. Let us know for the people that don't follow you and don't know who you are. Obviously, you're an incredible photographer. You shot many things for me, some of which include Ulta, which was so major.
So fun.
Obviously, all of the podcast imagery, which we do need to update soon.
I can't wait.
And so many other incredible moments. So tell us about you.
Yes. Okay. I'm Eleanor. I just kind of classify myself as a creative and content creator. So everything creative content, I always say I have three jobs. So my first job is Meraki Narrative, which is my creative agency. I just do photography and videography for brands, short form and long form. And that has, I've been doing it 7 years. I just hit my seven
Incredible.
Year. I know you've been doing social media for 10, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, once you hit seven, I'm like, dang.
January will here. Be 11.
That's amazing. Congrats. 10 is like wild. I feel like, did you throw a party for 10?
I didn't really have like a party, but I feel like I definitely celebrated it. It was one of those things I think, I just feel grateful to have that longevity.
Longevity is so key. Most companies or like creative industries don't make it past three. So
there you go.
That's a big thing. So that's my first job, technically. And then I started a golf club that has turned into a legitimate business.
Incredible.
Which is called Hawkgirl Golf. It's all community-based for women in golf, started by a beginner for beginners. And I just think golf is having its moment. We were mentioned in the Washington Post earlier
Incredible.
This year, which was amazing. And a couple different publications like Tribeza and different ones around the city. And so that's been awesome. We sell out every one of our events. Like,
so cool.
It's crazy.
I feel like golf to me and tennis are lifelong sports.
Yes.
I really want to get into one of them, but I do feel like it's one of those things that feels really intimidating if you haven't yet done it. And so that's genius.
Especially, I feel like golf has always been a men's dominated sport. And so tennis, I've seen more women in. Golf, it's like if you go to a golf club, it's like 95% men.
Yeah,
and it's
for
just
sure.
crazy. So creating that safe space for women is really key. So that's been amazing. I want to expand that to Dallas, San Antonio, Houston within the next year. Pray for me. And then lastly, I'm an Austin content creator, which I started doing for fun because I create content for my agency. Why would someone pay me to do content for them if I can't do it for myself?
Absolutely.
And I got a manager a year ago, which is crazy. It's been a year. And that's been, I've made more money on that in the last 2 months than I have on my business, which is crazy.
That is crazy. The photography
on
business?
Just social media content.
Incredible.
I was just like, I didn't even know how much money is in it. And it's been really cool to work. I worked with T-Mobile. I worked with Joyba for the, Alex Cooper when came to town.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. A couple big projects that were awesome. So
yeah, I want to talk about that too, because I think it's so interesting. People think that you either have to have a really big following to make money, or you have to be like doing something super specific. Whereas I feel like there's actually at this day and age, it kind of was that way when I started. But now I feel like there's like micro creators, macro creators, like really large scale, small scale, sort of everything in between. It can be food content. It can be interior design. It can be fashion, beauty. You know, there's a little bit of everything. And I think too, which I've talked about on another episode, there's so many other roles even within this career. It's like, obviously on my team alone, it's like I have an agent / manager. I have a Kirsten, I have an Audrey. And I think, again, like even if you're interested in working in the space and you don't want to necessarily be the person in front of the camera sharing your life, because that is not for everyone. There's so many other things you can do in the space, you know, which I think is really cool.
100%. And I also feel like there are some content creators that can have the same amount of followers that make triple another creator just because they're more marketable, just yep. because they talk about maybe they're more niche. I know like Allie was talking to me about a podcast that she's working on where they're doctors, or I know Danielle, my friend, she's like allergy specific. And there's so many brands who are like, I will pay way more money for an expert in this specific industry. So it's just so vast and so broad. And like, there's just so many avenues.
Completely. And I think too, even in my space with like beauty and fashion and all that, it's also like how you can convert for a brand. And how I think that we also live in a world where not everyone has influence and not everyone's creating content, right? I think that the words have sort of become jumbled and become synonymous, but they're not in a lot of ways. Like, I think that you can be both, but not everyone is. I think that there are influencers who actually influence what you purchase, maybe how you think, what you wear, what you do, where you go, but they're not necessarily creating like aesthetic content. Maybe they're still creating some form of content, but it's more like put the camera up, talk, I'm in my bed, I'm in my whatever. And then there's people who create beautiful content, very aesthetic, very like luxe, but they're not necessarily influencing you to do things. It's more like UGC creators. Like they're more creating like a beautiful face of makeup where you could use that. Like we could use that with Dibs. Like we use UGC creators. So we could use that on the brand side, but that's more like what you would see on Ulta, on Sephora, on, you know, in a magazine, in Vogue. Like it's that type of content, but it's not necessarily, it's maybe it's designed to show you how to use the product, but that person isn't necessarily the person influencing me to buy the thing, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, and then there's people that could influence you to buy, you know, the ladybug that lands on your shoulder. Like it's so, it's interesting. So I think that people absolutely can be both like aesthetic creators and have influence and convert, but they're not necessarily synonymous, which I do find interesting. And I think from the brand side of things for myself now, because obviously I'm really deep in both, I think about that frequently. I think about what's sort of like the goal of this thing. Like, is this to create really beautiful content or is this to move product? Is this to, you know what I mean? Like it's
no, I do know what you mean. You could say you're just like, for example, like how you, when you started Dibs, you were like in your kitchen and that was such like a part of like your brand. There's so many branding things about that content that's marketing specific that seems so, I don't know if nuance is the word, but like you don't think about it. It's so subconscious.
Totally. But what was interesting about that was that it wasn't this like planned thing about let me shoot all this content in my kitchen, even though it's so interesting because we think about like going into the quote, going into the kitchen with me, going to the kitchen with the brand, going into the kitchen behind the scenes, which is really like obviously where things happen and you're really seeing that BTS content. But it just happened to be in my kitchen because it's the only place in my house with good lighting. Yeah. It wasn't like this strategic, like let me go into the kitchen and make it a thing. It was just sort of like that ended up defining, being like a defining moment because it's just, that was what I had to work with. And when I went to Berklee College of Music and John Mayer came to speak, one of the things that he said was some of his limitations had actually begun to define his style, essentially. And I found that so interesting because his vocal range in the beginning, he said, wasn't like very big. And so he was only sort of singing in this vocal range, whereas the guitar, he can make the guitar sing like unlike anything else. But his vocal range was like here. And so that sort of became part of his style and his like musical aesthetic because it's just what he had to work with. And that's kind of the same thing as the kitchen.
I absolutely love that. I feel like with creative and photography, I feel that very strongly. I would prefer a brand give me such a specific brief because I can like work within certain colors and palettes and things that they're looking for. Or like when I shot Taryn's podcast, she's like, okay, our name is Tearing It Up with Taryn and I want to tear a piece of paper. And I'm like, we're like in front of her. And I'm like, no, like what can we do with tear that's like super unique and interesting? And we ended up having her tearing out of the paper herself. And I would have never thought of that if she's just like, I'm starting a podcast. But because it was that like specific direction, I think it gives a lot of creativity and context. So I totally see that in my own way too.
Completely. And it ended up being all the places that we were taking the meetings too. It was like, because it's so funny. So I designed, there's this room in the house that's sort of like a Vogue boardroom. That's how I designed it. The front room, you know, when you walk in. Yes. I wanted that to really feel like a Vogue boardroom, have like tons of books and colorful art and all this kind of stuff in there. And then it's also like a dining room. That's like what I think most people would use it for. And I do have a big dining table in there. But I always envisioned that as the office. Nobody works there. Well, now my boyfriend does, but like my team does not work there. We all end up in the kitchen. the fucking kitchen every time. I'm like, we just keep ending up in the kitchen. So it's just sort of where everything happened. And it did become that. Like a defining moment. What in your photography career, what are a couple of moments that really stood out to you? Was like, oh my gosh, I get to do this. This is so exciting. Or either something that you were like creatively excited by or a big moment in general that was like a milestone for you that you remember.
I have a couple. So kind of like a brief background is I had a business partner for 4 years. Her name is Ray. Love her to this day. I think a big moment for me as a person was the day I bought her out of the business. I think that's not like a creative project, but that was really big for me because I started at 22. I didn't really know how to pitch myself. I didn't really know how to like promote myself essentially, but I knew I was a really good creative and to be able, she did all of my sales and to be able to step into that role of every single creative project I've ever done. That has been the biggest moment for me for sure. And like a buyout like a of
proud
the business.
Of yourself. Moment.
Yes, yeah. Very proud of myself. And now it's been 3 years of doing it on my own, which has been awesome. Just a little bit over. Creative wise, I worked with Jay Shetty a lot when I lived in LA and that was really, really cool to work with him and his team. Just the level of production that we were able to do was so cool. And then another one, I think I signed an $83,000 deal with Layered Hamilton and his brand Layered Superfood.
The surfer.
Yes, the surfer.
Random fact about me, I love surfing.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how to surf. Like, I don't personally love surfing. I mean, I love the idea of surfing.
Have you gone surfing? By it.
I have a story about that, which I can get into.
Okay. This. I also am an attempted surfer. I'm very beginner, but I'd like go out to Malibu during COVID.
I have a traumatic experience.
No.
Yeah. No, it wasn't what it was in my head, you know, but.
Yes. Swimming is hard and the wave, like ocean's no joke.
Wait, okay. $83,000 deal. Sorry, I'm being ADD right now, but that's amazing.
It was really awesome, I think, to see that my work was valued in that way and to get to like completely reshape a brand from their new branding and to be able to bring that visually into life in their web. Like it's still all the works on their website today. All the work is like everywhere over their branding. And it took me about 2 months to do that work. But it was so cool to like get to do every single aspect of the creative for their new branding. And yeah, that's probably my second biggest
one.
And then
was Jay Shetty the first?
I think Jay Shetty was my first one. I think that's my first celebrity client that I was like, okay. I mean, I don't know if you'd consider him a celebrity. He's like a big podcaster.
He's definitely like a well-known person.
Yes, well-known person. And so that was really cool. I also like I'm pretty close with Kennedy from Daily Drills. So I traveled around the world with them.
Do you want to know something crazy?
What?
She was one of the models for our first sib shoot ever.
I saw that. I actually forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love it.
That's how I found out what Daily Drills was.
Wait, that's so cool. Yeah. I love Ken. We actually started like a Bible study together, like right when we came out of college.
Cool.
So we were tight. I love her. I'm so proud of her and Mary Ralph and everything they're doing. But I went to Paris with them for a shoot. And that was just like to get to go to Paris to shoot.
Iconic.
Photos. I mean, say less. So I love that type of stuff.
Absolutely. I'm just picturing you in Paris now, like decked out in fashion. I feel like you
have with your friends. Yeah. Like it's so fun.
Croissants in Paris with your friends while you get to do what you love.
And like taking photos of them eating a croissant. Like, okay.
I think that there's also something that just hits different about living like in your purpose.
Yes.
You know, how do you find purpose in what you do? Or what do you feel like gives you purpose to stay motivated and stay creative? And
that's a great question. I feel like because I have 3 different jobs, you know how with people, you have different people in your life that fulfill something different within you. I feel like that's my 3 creative endeavors. So Hot Girl Golf is really community-based and it's like bringing girls together, being able to create that space for them to meet new friends and then watching them go play together outside of the club, also creating a safe space for a sport for women that they wouldn't feel safe stepping into otherwise. Like so much purpose there for me. My grandmother actually gave me her clubs when she passed away.
Hello.
And I had no idea how to play golf. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to start a club because there's no club out here I would want to join as a beginner. So a lot of purpose in that. And then I think for my creative content, obviously being able to help a brand succeed and see actual significant results, especially when it's like a mom and pop shop and you know the owners personally. There's been a lot of stories where there's like a little taco shop out here that I made a video for, like called Paco's. It's been around for like 18 years. I went in there the other day, like the owner starts crying, being like, thank you so much. You've helped me.
Makes an impact.
And you're like, it's crazy to hear that like everyone watched your video and like came in to support the small business.
Totally.
That's wild to hear like that type of impact. And that does mean a lot to me. Yes. And it, you know, there's weight to what you promote and getting to know the people and what you're supporting. I also do free dog photo shoots in the park so people can have photos of their dogs.
So cute.
I'm like, so I find purpose in a lot of different ways. I think I do what I do also to create space to help launch some of my friends' creative careers. And I've done it so many different times. Like in LA, I would take my friends' model books so they could get signed. I'm taking like Ali's podcast shots. I've taken my boyfriend's acting headshots, like so many different things where I'm like, I can use this skill set to elevate the people around me. And that is, I mean, that's the best.
Yeah, super gratifying, especially like doing it for, like you said, in Hot Girl Golf and all these other things, like people that you maybe know and don't know yet and like creating that community, but then getting to do that sort of closer to home with people that you do know is amazing for sure. I mean, Ali and I obviously also get to work together and it's like so gratifying to, it's just fun too. We called each other this morning on the way in. We're like, what a good way to start Monday. Can't wait to see you. Like, it's just, it's fun. And I think too, it's always a nice reminder that I think if you surround yourself with the right people, and I'm like getting chills saying this, I feel like whenever I say something that I know is like really true, like rooted in truth and like resonates, like I always get those like little arm chills right now. Ali said she's getting them too. It's one of those things where if you surround yourself with the right people, there really is enough space for everyone to succeed. And you feel that energy pretty easily from people. Like you feel, okay, the energy of like, hey, I really want to work with you and I want to see you succeed and I want to, you know, help in whatever way I can. Come to me if you need something, if you have a question, if you need advice. Hey, come on my podcast. Hey, let me take these photos for you. Like it really is important to surround yourself with the right people. And I think that when you do feel that in your life, like there really is no ceiling and the alignment in those friendships is inspiring and exciting and it really does grow you in like a super organic, like authentic way. And I think that then everyone sort of rises like together, which is really cool and inspiring. And I think that unfortunately there are a lot of people who don't harbor that sense of community and like genuine love for people. And those people, I think whether they're successful or not now, I think to me, those people will ultimately always at some point have like that fall from grace, become unsuccessful. Because I think, first of all, there's a whole other conversation that I was having with my boyfriend the other day about like being a successful person in general. And I've really been putting a lot of thought into this lately because I think that the world says that success is like, you know, defined by how much money you have in your bank account and what does your house look like and who, how do you look and like, what's your aesthetic and what's in your closet? And while those things can be fun, that is not what defines success. And that is not what defines a successful person at all. To me, what defines a successful person is how do you treat other people?
100%.
How kind are you? How helpful are you? How, like, how do you live in the world? You know, because I think at the end of the day, this is a little bit morbid, but at the end of the day, we're all going to die. Like we all end up, you know, clocking out of life at some point. And I think like at the end of that time, who's there? And can you genuinely say that you made a positive impact on people? Like it's what kind of friend are you? What kind of family member are you? What kind of, you know, partner are you? What kind of mom, dad, you know, coworker, anything really? Like how are you as a human being? To me, that is what defines a successful person, not the amount of money in your bank account. And hey, guess what? I walked in today with expensive jeans and a Louis Vuitton. And I'm not saying that that shit's not fun. I'm just saying don't put value in it. Because at the end of the day, it's not actually what matters. And I think that when you surround yourself with successful people from that lens, you will all eventually become successful in a career way as well. But I think if you surround yourself with people who are only successful in a monetary way, there is a good chance that those people don't necessarily always have your best interests at heart if they're not successful people in a people way. And eventually that's a harsh reality, you know? And I think that that's like something that I've really put a lot of thought into the past year is like surrounding myself with successful human beings.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I could not agree more. You are who you surround yourself with. That's like one of the most common phrases, but I've been thinking about that so much lately, especially because I've been like throwing parties and different things. And like, I do a lot of gatherings and you can have the most elegant, beautiful wedding, let's say. But if the people there suck, the event is horrible.
Oh yeah.
And like vice versa, you could be at the grungiest dive bar, but if you have the most fun people in the world, the people that fill up your cup, the people who are positive, the people who are going to pour into you, it doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. You're going to leave that experience more fulfilled and happy. And I've been thinking about that a lot more in like the spaces that I go into. It's like, am I going to come out of here a better person? Am I going to come out of here more fulfilled, more inspired, or am I going to be drained?
Yeah. And it really is. If you don't know who those people are in your life that are filling you up. And obviously it has to be mutual that you're filling up as well. And the people that are draining you, pay attention to how you feel when you leave.
Yes.
Because if you leave and you're like, oh my God, I'm exhausted and I need to go home and rest. And I can't do anything social for days. It's like, that's probably not someone that's having a positive impact on your life. And also being mindful of the way that you're showing up for other people. I also think it's okay to not be like everyone's cup of tea. I also think it's okay to not have everyone in your life all the time. Like if you can't show up in a positive, supportive way for someone else, like it's probably not a person in your life. And if they can't show up for you, then, you know, I think that's also okay. But I think it's so important to be mindful of the way that you show up for other people and how other people show up for you. And then you dictate things accordingly, you know?
Yes.
It's major.
I'm working on trying to not be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. I think some of that comes with age.
Yeah.
And experience and having like a couple of experiences where you recognize too, that no matter what, you can be the kindest person in the world and there will always be people that just don't like you, whether they're like completely, completely committed to misunderstanding you or they're jealous or they, you know, their friend said this about you because they want, like, who the fuck knows? Who the fuck cares? It's like, you can't go in and alter someone's experience of you if they're committed to having that experience, you know, a certain way.
Absolutely. And some people like, just want to be miserable. I think I've had to really learn that too.
And it's like, here's an example. I don't like scary movies. I do not like scary movies. So I could go into the nicest movie theater in the world and have the best meal and the best snacks and the comfiest outfit and, you know, all these things. And you'd be surrounded by people that I really love and like, I'm not going to like it because I don't like scary movies and like, that's okay. Not everything is for everyone. But I think too, based on the, going back to the successful person conversation, I also think it's important to remember that so much of what we're often drawn to about people is actually not necessarily physical.
Yes.
Right. Like, I think that that's like something off rip that people think, but I think at the end of the day, you can be the most outwardly beautiful physical person. And if you are ugly on the inside, you're going to be ugly.
Yeah.
You're still not going to be fun to be around. You're still not going to be, you know, you're just not going to be beautiful at the end of the day. Yeah. And then
some people I want to like knock and be like, is anyone home? Like, yeah. Hello.
And also you can be some of the most beautiful hands down, like knockout people mm-hmm. are like the most insecure frequently mm-hmm. because they were raised to value what yes. they look and not. Like, I think an awkward stage growing up is a good thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think so at the time, but now I look back and I'm like, man, my middle school awkward.
You're like,
stage
I have such a good personality.
Did me well, you know, I learned to be funny.
Yeah.
But I do think like it opens up a broader conversation about like what success is actually defined by. Cause I think that the world has it a little skewed.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Quick break because today's episode is brought to you by Tula. If you have been following me for a while now, or honestly any period of time, then you probably know that I am so obsessed with Tula and you're probably just as obsessed with this brand as I am. They were one of the first brands I ever worked with, which is crazy to think about almost 11 years later. I always love stocking up when I have a code, and today I have a podcast code, which is extremely exciting and so special for you guys. Let's chat about a few things and some of my favorite favorite products. You guys know the face wash is obviously a must. I've gone through countless numbers of them. I think if you asked me how many face washes I've gone through, I couldn't even give you a number. It's genuinely that many. If you haven't tried their body products, stop what you're doing and order them ASAP. Those are also some of my favorites. The body butter situation that comes in a jar, and then the exfoliator. I just love the beads because they're not too harsh on your skin. They definitely do like a good job of exfoliating, but they don't feel like they're rubbing all of your skin off, which I feel like a lot of exfoliators do. So use my code COURTSIDE for 15% off and enjoy.
Speaking of aesthetics in a positive way, I think that a part of being a creative is learning how to externally like output your creativity and like the way that you show up. So maybe that's content you're creating. Maybe that's how you decorate your house. Maybe that's the outfit that you wear. I feel like you have a really well-defined personal style. Whenever I see you, I'm like, oh, so Eleanor, like whatever it is that you're wearing. And I love people with a good personal style because I feel like to me, I associate that with like knowing who you are to a degree. And that doesn't mean your style has to be any one way. You could wear all black and you could wear a sweatshirt and leggings every day. And that could be your favorite thing in the world. And that's still, if that's still so you, love it. Mm-hmm. So I don't care how people dress one way or another, as long as you feel comfortable, but I think you feeling comfortable radiates. So what are a couple of things that you feel like helped you find your personal style and aesthetic, and maybe like tips that you can give for other people if they're struggling with how to find that?
I love this question. Something that I do a lot, and I think will help a lot of people. I think where people struggle is they get caught up in the trends and like what's trending and like, let me click on this link that like a person to buy exactly like carbon copy of what they wear and what they do. I think that gets really dangerous. I think that the thing that's helped me the most is thrifting and eBay. I'm like an eBay fiend. Like I love to find a really niche item on eBay. So like last season, it was hand knit sweaters.
I remember your hand knit sweaters.
I was in on it and I was like, how can I find something that is so unique, like a statement piece? So I found this one sweater that is from the first golf course ever. And it has like two little holes for your teeth. And then it has like a little clicker and it's gorgeous, like bright blue and white, hand knit. And I'm like, this is so cool. And when I feel so comfortable in it, but also it's a conversation piece starter.
And it has meaning for you.
It has meaning for me. And I'm like, if I can find more stuff like that, that's what I'm going to wear again and again and again, because I look at it and I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. And just like the little details too. Details are so fun. I think where I get caught and when I miss the mark is when I like buy something off TikTok shop. I'm like, what am I doing? And there's nothing wrong with it.
I love a TikTok shop purchase.
I don't, but
not the clothes necessarily. Like,
I bought a pair of glasses. Like, you know, those gold glasses literally everyone is wearing? The gold ones with like, they're like thick gold. They like are, I think, a carbon copy of like a Chanel glass.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think that's hit my FYP.
It's my biggest regret. I'm like, I look like every other girl in Austin, Texas. I cannot. And I'm like, I just don't, because it hit everyone else's FYP and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think I just realized, I'm like, this wasn't because it was so me. It was because I don't know. I thought it was going to be cool. I don't hate the glasses, but that's not, doesn't inspire me. I think eBay has been really cool for me.
I like that. And I've recently been doing that. So I did like this big clean out of my closet and then I would go through things because I was realizing that I had made some purchases that I really liked the purchase. Like if I just saw the dress or I just saw the skirt or the shoes, I was like, oh, that's a really cool dress. And then I never wore it and I never reached for it because I realized it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And so I think that you have to bifurcate between liking something and then asking yourself, is this me?
Yes.
Because it's okay to just like something and admire it. Like I could be like, oh, that's so cool. I love that for you, but like, it's not me. And knowing that, I feel like is really what sort of starts to define your actual style. Like figuring out, is it for you or is it just cool?
Yeah. I love that. I went through a phase in LA. I love like giving myself like little fashion, like not tasks, but like
challenges.
So my grandmother, I'm very inspired by my grandmother, just like you're inspired by Liz, your mom, right? Yeah. And my grandmother wore head to toe, monochrome every single day, Ralph Lauren.
So iconic.
Bright orange.
Iconic.
Bright green. And I was like, what if I tried to wear monochrome for 30 days straight?
Did
and
you?
It was such, I did. 30 days straight, like bright red. And I like documented it just for myself. And this was back when I lived in LA. And I was like, that was such a fun like task for me and something to like.
I hope you bring that back because I would
watch that now. I do wear monochrome a lot, like a lot. I think.
Do you know why I bet you like that?
Why?
You're very low contrast.
I am low contrast. I've been thinking about you with my low contrast. Mm-hmm.
And I think because you're so low contrast, you like outfits that are low contrast.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because they're even, no matter what color you're wearing, as long as it's the same, kind of the same as everything else and is monochromatic, it's going to be low contrast.
And so I don't like wearing like a black top and white bottoms. Mm-mm, like it doesn't work.
Too harsh for you.
Yes.
Right.
Well.
Right?
Yes. No, it's literally everything I wear now.
Uh-huh.
That and like my color palette, I feel like I need to be my like tried and
true.
I'm not. I'm a spring. I think we're the same.
I knew you were something light. I'm a winter.
Oh, sorry. I'm a winter.
Oh yeah. I forgot you're a winter.
Sorry, my brain. I'm a winter.
I'm confused by that.
Yeah. They said it's like so different, right? It's the people who are like really light skin, blue eyes, and then like
tan or dark.
I don't know. But I see it and I'm like, it makes sense. It does. When you see it on both people.
And when you see someone wearing their color, you're like, yes.
Yes.
Yes. You know, every time. I always like you when you do like that cobalt.
It made me more creative too because, you know, the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, the yellow pastel dress she wears. I realized that was one of my colors. It's probably one of your colors too. And I was like, I would have never bought it for a wedding and I bought it for like a wedding to attend. I was like, I'm obsessed.
It makes sense though. Cause if you think about it, it's okay. Kate Hudson from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's also Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Wait, that makes so much. So try that color. It's really good.
Okay. I'll try it. But see, I think it almost, yellows and greens are like murky territory.
Cause it has to be a silvery yellow, like almost like really. So I have to send you the palette. Like it's a very specific yellow. Like you can't go into
mustard.
No, no.
You know who I like those kind of colors on is Carly.
Yes.
Like the,
she's like my only autumn friend. Mm-hmm. I don't really know many autumns.
She's very autumn. But
it works for her.
I love that. Photography tips. If someone's starting out that you could give for new, you know, beginners.
I love it. I'm actually coaching one of my best friends to be a photographer at the moment. She's a mom and she wants like a job that she can go and take photos of people, et cetera. And so I think a portfolio is a really big thing. Like you can't just go out and be like, I'm ready to go. If you don't have any pictures to show for yourself, no one's going to hire you. And so you have to take free work. Just like influencers take, they'll get a product and they'll make a video for it for free to show what they can do. It's the same thing with photography. It's like, you have to be able to show off your work.
I still do that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's important at every level because to me that indicates I organically am obsessed with this thing. And even from the brand side with Dibs, that's who I want to work with. If you're out here posting Dibs organically because you genuinely love the product and use it and you've told your five best friends, like, I want to work with you. Like, that's who I want to pay to share the product, not some random person that's never used it before. So I think it's always a good look, no matter where you are. You know, I feel like it's always that's a really good tip, no matter where you are.
It applies to so many different things. I think that has been key for like helping her. And then it goes into like the niche of what you're trying to get into, because there's so many different types of photography. I'm specifically a product photographer. And then I do a lot of like branding shoots and stuff.
I feel like that's ironic in the sense that you're so good at people though.
I appreciate that.
Like some of my favorite photos of myself or photos that you've taken. There's just something about the way the lighting and the skin. And like, I always know I'm in good hands. Like I know it's going to hit, which is not always the case because I've worked with amazing, very like well-accomplished photographers who I respect and are wonderful, but the skin and the people. And it's like, my skin doesn't look like that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, it doesn't have like all this texture and all this, but like the lighting, if you don't get it right, I mean, it's major.
Lighting is huge and that takes like some time to learn. And that's like, I can't help you on a podcast on how to figure that out. But I am self-taught in studio, which should be encouraging to anyone. If you do want to get into photography, like Google, I was not classically trained.
Yeah.
And just try a lot of stuff out. Like, how do you know, like with a video, what's going to hit unless you try it and you're like, hate it. Let's move on. Same thing with lighting. Like, I could see something. I'm very honest. I'm like, I hate this lighting on you. Like, we're going to change it. That, don't waste your time. But I wouldn't have known or learned if I didn't try a bunch of different things. And then it goes into like the pitching aspect, which is a whole other thing with like building your portfolio and everything.
I think something underrated about being a photographer, being in a creative space in general, is personality though.
Yes.
Not everyone, I'm a believer in like, you do you, and I always want to support people in whatever it is that they want to do. But I think like a little self-assessment, because like, I don't know another way to say this, it isn't going to come off harsh, but like not everything is for everyone in that capacity. Mm-hmm. I think there's no ceiling and you can genuinely do whatever you want to do, but like certain people are suited for certain roles, I think, sort of naturally. And then you can learn and come into your own on things, but you are very easy to be around.
I appreciate that.
And I think that's something that's like underrated when it comes to someone taking your picture. Cause I think it can be uncomfortable for the person getting their picture taken.
Oh yeah.
If they're not comfortable in front of a camera, the last thing that you want is like someone also making you kind of uncomfortable that's behind the lens. But when that person, you in this case, comes in and is like very comfortable to be around, like energy wise and personality wise, it just makes it a lot easier. Like there's a way different flow to it when you just genuinely enjoy the person that you're working with and they're like easy to be around.
I absolutely agree. And I've had to like take that into consideration. I know we've had a offline combo with hiring because it's like, you have to be so careful and like the people you bring on your own team as well.
It reflects you too.
It does.
Any tips? Like, is it use your social media? Do people use their social media now as sort of like their calling card in that way? Or are you like emailing people? Like, how are you in the beginning even getting in touch with people to shoot when you were trying to do things for free? Is it your friends? And then how do you do that?
In the beginning, it was a lot of word of mouth. Like word of mouth is huge, but I went to trade shows and met people face to face in the first couple of years. And I still do to this day. And I think it's the same thing like you were talking about on who you are as a person. I always want to be an extension of people's team. I'd rather work with less people and be an extension and work on like bigger projects or be on a retainer with someone because I can grow with them. But I also like want to be an outsourced member of a team. Like that's 100%. And I think that comes across when you talk to people in person and you're able to be like, do we vibe? Do we have the same vision? And when I talk to people in person, like met founders in person, that's when I got the most gigs because they're like, oh,
you get
it. Trust you. Mm-hmm. And you seem like a reliable person. I think that's huge because people want to work with people they like.
Totally.
And there's a lot of photographers who are really talented, but make you feel uncomfortable or like aren't very friendly or just a variety
ego,
of different things.
Or they're like kind of sleazy.
Yeah.
It's just like there's like a whole, it's the whole thing.
There's so many different things.
Pitfalls. Yeah. Okay, I want to get into like the meat and potatoes, no pun intended, of my next question, okay. Which is Austin Rex. So
ooh, let's do it.
I grew up here.
Yes.
I've lived here, well, obviously off and on, like I've lived other places, but we moved here when I was like 1.5 years old. So I'm like an OG.
You've seen it all.
Austin person. I think though, because I know so many like local spots and like spots that if you maybe didn't grow up here, you don't know. Like sometimes when I'm going on, like it's date night, luckily my boyfriend's good at planning that stuff. But a lot of times it's like, okay, best new speakeasy with good cocktails. Like, you know, I feel like especially lately, so many new places have just like popped up in the past year, two years.
It's actually insane.
Give us a breakdown, but I want to do it. So if you're coming to Austin for a bachelorette party or if you have a date night or a girls lunch or whatever it is, like I want to sort of break it up into places.
Yes.
And I'll add and sprinkle in here as well. But let's start sort of like at the beginning of the day, essentially. And if something, we can do like girls nights or like sort of like niche things, but we can also break that out by category. So say it's like breakfast and coffee. We could say, okay, this one is like a good little date breakfast, or this one is like a good, if you're here for a bachelorette party and you're coming in hungover, like
yeah,
whatever. So let's start with the breakfast and coffee.
I think my favorite breakfast in Austin is still Paperboy. I still think it's like a tried and true. There is a place next door called Poeta that's really cute too and kind of new. And I tried it. I was really impressed. I love so many coffees in Austin for like specific niche reasons. So I can go into like a couple of my favorites.
Let's do it.
Desnudo is like if you're wanting to do, if you're like a foodie and you like very unique coffees, I would say Desnudo, like they are very seasonal. So they have their peach coffee during the seasons with peaches. It's actually so good.
That sounds incredible.
They have their bogey berry, which is like their tried and true. They ferment it. They use all local farms.
Oh, wow.
And they're also family oriented. The sweetest Colombian guys. So sweet. Love them. But the line is going to be crazy, especially on a weekend. I'm really loving this. This is like a niche coffee. I think you would like this. There is Cherie Coffee is this little coffee cart started by a couple, Abby, and I forget her husband's name. And they do a homemade pumpkin spice cold foam with almond milk and what's the protein? Collagen. And she like makes this like a healthy homemade spices, almond milk, pumpkin spice. It's so good.
See, I think I would like homemade pumpkin spice vibes. Like I love cinnamon and like those type of flavors. I don't like fake pumpkin.
And it's not too sweet either. It's so good. It, like where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so impressed. And so that has been like, I just love them. And then there's so many like cute spots like working remote. Like Palomino's a really good one. There's a new spot that just opened up that's, I haven't actually been to work remote, but it's the new swim club, not swim club, the other one. Anyway, I don't remember the name right now, but there's like different ones that are better for working remote. So many different ones, but those are kind of my two right now I'm loving.
Okay, love it. Lunch.
Lunch. You know, you've inspired two different food loves for me.
Oh.
One of them, lunch, local foods, when we ordered it the first time we shot it. So good. Mm-hmm. So healthy.
I showed up to local foods a couple of months ago and I get to the window and I'd never been in person because I was just ordering.
Yeah.
And I show up and the girl working at the window was like, you're the famous pickle girl. And I'm like, oh, I don't think that's me. I like totally forgot that I made the pickle video. And I was like, wait, what? And then she was like, no, like you like make videos. And I was like, yeah, okay, like that's me. But she was like, and you did like a whole video about our lunch and our pickles. And I was like, oh, that shit, that is me.
Yeah.
But when she said that, she was like, you're the famous pickle girl. Aww. And I was like, that's not me. And
then, wait, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny.
I'm obsessed.
So that's like my new, like, you know, not social media, not dibs, not any, it's just the pickle girl. I was like,
absolutely.
I'm now the pickle girl. That's what I
love that.
Okay, I love the local foods.
Yes. I'm like, I mean, it's a chain. So I'm sweet green. I'm a true sweet green girl.
You don't like sweet green?
Why?
It smells weird in there to me.
Really?
I always order for pickup. It smells weird in there. I don't know. I can't get over it. It's just like not my favorite salad. Like there's just like something about it that doesn't hit for me. I don't know what it is. I just
don't. What bowl do you get? Or what
if
you
vibe with it? I've tried a variety of them. The chicken is chickeny. Like I just, it freaks me out a little bit.
The chicken is chickeny.
But I am weird with meat.
Mm-hmm.
Like
okay, that makes sense.
Super picky. And so I just feel like any sort of like salad bar place, I'm not going to love the meat at. I feel like that's something that Austin is kind of missing. It's like a really good salad place.
I agree. I really do. I think the closest we have is like local foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, they make such a wide variety of things. I don't really know really.
But see, like I've every time I've ever eaten local foods, like it's good. It always hits.
Mm-hmm.
The bread's good on the bun and the chips on the sandwich and the chicken's not chickeny and everything. Like whenever I get like salad bar chicken, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit for me.
If you guys want to.
And like, you're going to have someone come in from out of town in Austin and send them to Sweet Green. Like, give me like a where can people go to lunch?
I know. I'm just saying lunch. It's not a bad option. Okay. More like, I mean, the home slice sub is one of my biggest, I'm a ride or die for it.
Okay.
I get it every single Sunday.
It's like a meatball sub?
So that's, I don't get the meatball sub. I get the Italian or the turkey.
Okay.
It is the best sandwich in Austin. It's
really?
So good. It's not cheap. It's huge. I get the 6-inch. Yes.
Okay.
Shareable. If you get the long one, 100%. It's like this big and this thick. It's huge. But you literally only need a 6-inch. It's incredible. I don't know. You have to try it to understand. So for like I feel like that's a tourist-y spot, but people are like, fun. Oh, I've only had the pizza. I've never had the sandwich. The sandwich is it. Okay. I don't care how touristy it is. I will be there every Sunday.
Yum. I'm like a Clark's, Perla's.
Love.
Girl. Like, to me, those are my girly kind of lunch spots. Uh-huh. I feel like they both would be fun on a date, but they're both great, like, aesthetic.
Yes.
Kind of spot with the girls if you're in town for a bachelorette party, something like that. They're both good. I'm trying to think of what are other, like...
It's hard. Like, lunch is so different. Like, it could be a sit down or it could be a, like, grab and go. So this is more of like, I feel like local foods and home slice are more like a grab and go lunch. Like, you're on your way to the boat. Like,
my Hop Dottie burger bowls I'm obsessed with.
I love Hop Dottie and the health. I've done some research on like their macros. So good on the burger bowl.
Oh, amazing.
Like they actually, I have a friend who's a nutritionist, says Hop Dottie burger bowls are like her safe food.
Oh.
I was like, great amazing. To know.
Yeah, yeah, really great to know. Also, hot tip, like to sub the like under salad part of the burger bowl for Brussels.
Really good.
I wish they did half and half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want like the full Brussels.
Agree. But I don't want the full salad without the Brussels.
Because their Brussels are so flaky and oily. I just feel like I'm eating
it.
Oil.
Mm, I love it.
I know, but it's, I just am like, this can't be healthy for me. No. I struggle.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if I'm going to get a bowl and not a burger, I want to get my greens.
Speaking of burgers, pool burger is my favorite burger in town for sure. Again, like on a weekend, you're going to wait.
Yes.
For sure.
But I love going at night, the vibes of the lights. It just feels so
completely
vibey.
I think that would be so fun for like a bachelorette party. I feel like Dainata is everyone's go-to for stuff like that. Like,
agree.
Really fun sort of like vibe. You don't want to have more than two margaritas though, because you will be like cross-eyed when you leave.
Yes. The frozen specifically. Mm. Regular, you're safe. Okay. They don't use like real alcohol in it. I think
what is it?
I mean, it's alcohol, but it's not like, I'm worried it's like malt liquor or something because the drunk is like a different type of drunk. It's weird. But I mean,
it's not good.
I'm not mad about it. It's just a little funky.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like you do sort of end up a little like twisted.
Yeah, but it's not like so my normal tequila vibe.
No.
It's something else is going on
okay.
in the margaritas. Let us know.
Yeah, please. Someone do a little investigative deep dive. I feel like you might be the someone though.
I might have to.
You might be that someone. Dinner.
There are so many. So this is the second thing. I think about this meal every day since you showed it to me.
What?
Can you guess what it is?
No.
We went out to dinner. Where did we go?
When was that?
We went out to dinner. It was with Allie and we went to a rooftop. Do you know what it is? I guess it's at the proper. Blinking?
Oh, La Piscina.
And what's the meal?
The fajitas.
With the?
The queso fundido.
The queso.
Oh.
I think about that queso.
Stop. No, it's so good.
And it is so good. And I would say 100% needs to be tried for dinner.
It's
so good. And you can share it. It's such a good shareable.
I like to get like half steak, half chicken.
Obsessed.
One of my absolute Austin favorites. I also love, because again, I think that that's like a great date night could also be great. Like with the girls, like, I mean, all these places, I guess, are kind of interchangeable in that way because it's, you know.
I have a favorite happy hour for you. So Bufalina has an amazing happy hour and it's half off pizzas, half off wine. Their wine list is some of the best in the city. Their orange wine, incredible.
Oh.
Obsessed.
I do love wine. I'm in my like hosting at the house.
Yes.
And wine era.
Do you like orange wine?
You know, you want to know something? I've never tried it.
I'm in my orange wine era.
Okay.
It's so good. It's so good. It's like a blend between a red and a white. I don't know. It's so unique. I love it. But you have to get a good bottle.
Okay. So is it like flat rosé?
No. I honestly, please try it and report back because I really don't know how to explain it. But orange wine, there's a natural wine shop on the east side next to Salmataro, not Bufalina. That's so cute. And they have really good orange wine. I'll have to get the name of it.
Yeah, please do and text it to me.
Okay.
So I can it's worth it. Okay. I want to do like a little rapid fire.
Yes.
Best, if you had to pick only one spot for the following. Date night, dinner.
That's so hard.
Gotta pick one.
Okay, the only one, I'll just say the first thing that comes to mind, Birdies.
Okay, date night, cocktails.
Trona.
Girls night.
Powder room.
Girls night, cocktails. Or would it be powder room?
Girls at Cocktails Powder Room, new spot, kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. They do take your phone.
They do take your phone. So like safety on date, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but yeah. Girls night, very fun. It's like the only, why I say girls night and not date night is you dress up. Like it's like one of the only places in Austin, I feel like you can wear a dress and like get super cute and it's like normal.
I would also say Sammy's really great, yes, for dressing up. La Piscina, I do think you can dress, yes, up for those spots. I'm trying to think of what else is.
Have you been to Powder Room yet?
I have been to Powder Room. Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
Yeah, it's cute.
We went, I've been with friends and then my boyfriend and I went one night pre going somewhere else. And so yeah. It was like sort of a quicker in and out. Like I had a drink.
Did they have the DJ with the live music?
I don't think so. Okay. I want to say it was like a Thursday or something.
Got it. I love, they have a DJ, but then they have live saxophone or live guitar on top of the DJ. And I just love that aspect of the live music there. Very unique. And I think that that's just like a cool vibe.
Okay.
So I do like that a lot.
Do you guys cook at home?
We do. I go out to eat too much, clearly.
You live together, don't you?
We do.
How's that?
I love it. We actually just signed a lease on a house.
Oh my gosh, congrats.
So he moved into my apartment, which is awesome. He used to live with his brother. And then we're getting a new house.
Amazing. Yeah, congrats. That's so exciting. Okay. And then like cliche things you'd skip.
Franklin's. I went, it's amazing. But like, so I just, if you're going to come to Austin, do not wait 4 hours in that line.
No.
Do
you have a barbecue alternative, Rhett?
I mean, I feel like everyone goes to Terry Black's. It is a good vibe. There's also Leroy and Lewis.
Hot take from a local. It's not glamorous, but Rudy's.
Okay.
It's like it's a literal gas station kind of a situation. Oh, okay. It's so good. Like whenever we have like family friends in town, we'll go to Rudy's. You pull up at the gas station, get your barbecue.
For the girls.
It's big in there though.
If the girl, like for the girls who are like, I like, and I want to try barbecue, but I don't want to like wait in the line. Go to, what's the combination between Uchi and Franklin's? Loro. Go to Loro. Because that's like Asian barbecue fusion. It's the Franklin's barbecue meat. And it's so good, but it's like a little bit more upscale and like not as crazy to get in.
So Franklin's overhyped. Anything else that's like overhyped, skip it.
Party barges on Lake Travis.
I would rather go wake surfing. What? Did you think Dainata's overhyped?
No, I really like Dainata. Okay. I think that the wait time is getting a little crazy for what it is. Like if you have for a casual dinner, it's cute. And I do like that you can go to Central Machine Works after. Like you can just walk across the street. So I think that's a vibe. I don't think it's overhyped. If I came, I would want to go. But there's so many different food places. Mm-hmm. It's not like the best food. It's like for the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And the vibe.
I agree. Yeah. I don't leave being like, my God, that taco changed my life, but yeah, it is definitely vibes. I will say it's a very like, if you're from Austin, you're going to go and see like 15 people, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be like wanting that.
Yeah. I think there is a lot of stuff that's overhyped.
Sushi?
For the best sushi? Mm-hmm. I really do like Uchi and Uchiba. Mm-hmm. I also am biased because I just did a shoot with Uchiba. So I'm like, I just got to try their menu.
I really like Uchiba has a like strawberry ranch water thing.
Ooh.
That's really good. Tahine rum.
Love.
With like tahine and sugar.
Their cocktails are
very good.
Fire. They're also there. They have the fried milk dessert.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
It's insane. You would never think. It sounds so weird. It's so good.
I've had fried ice cream.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Not there.
That is interesting. Okay, for dessert, I'm saying, for ice cream, definitely Zed's.
Oh, I haven't 100%. Tried that. I'm an Amy's girl.
Courtney.
What's Zed's? I don't know.
Zed's
this is
fresh fruit mixed in right in front of you in the ice cream.
Yum.
And they have non-dairy and dairy.
Okay.
And like, it's just so fresh because you watch them like put the fruit in, freshly mix it. It's a New Zealand ice cream
spot. Do they do other toppings or is it like just the fruit and the ice cream? Okay.
Yeah. So good. You can get cone, bowl.
Okay.
They also do milkshakes, but that's new. So to be determined.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. But that's 100% if I have a sweet tooth, that's where I'm
going.
That's
where you go.
I also, this can kind of go for breakfast or dessert. I'm obsessed with the new Rockman Bakery. The line is crazy.
Where is that?
It's on the east side. Yeah. It's Rockman. Okay. She's a phenomenal pastry chef. She has a lot of like sweet croissants.
Okay, you know, my thing though, I wish more places like that were open later because I just feel like the 3 o'clock slump is when I want the morning bun. I want the cookie. Yes. I want the extra coffee. Like that's sort of what I'm craving, that kind of thing. I don't love super sweet in the morning, but right then I want that. And so I almost wish like stay open till three for me. Like
I feel like this is what they have cocktails there. So I feel like they would, but I think they just sell out every day.
That makes sense.
And maybe I'm like, wait maybe a month or two and see if they slow down. But they, for like the sweet treat vibe of a croissant, they also have savory and they have rip and dip bagels with like homemade schmears.
Okay, now I'm craving like 800 things.
It's really good, but I'm like literally on their store, it says gluten, butter.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Like it's not healthy.
I mean, my thing is like, look, if I'm going for like a pastry and like a rip and tear bagel, I'm not trying to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, and own it. Enjoy
it. There's a place for it. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Yes. This has been really fun. Let us know where we can find you.
On Instagram and TikTok. I have like 500 different accounts, so I don't even know. But I guess my personal is ATX with Eleanor if you want to follow the Austin fun stuff. And my agency is Meraki Narrative.
Incredible. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Courtney. This is fun.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Bye. Bye.